Morning from God our Father, His beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us in faith. So, this gone week was VBS week, and the kids and us had a very exciting time together. It was such an awesome week, and in the process of that, they were taught the armor of God. The armor of God is the armor that we Christians ought to put on every day as we walk this Christian journey that we are on. So in order for us to be able to successfully do so and overcome the evil one and his tricks and plans against our lives. So that it was an awesome week. And so this topic that was treated during the course of this week ties right in with the message we are preaching this morning about one of the things that Jesus is asking us to move away from. And in order to do that, you have to have that armor on to do so. So, but let's take a retrospect first on last week's message so that we would come in on this week's message. So last week, the subject of the message was on how our lives are more than what we make it to be like. It is more than that, and we used the example of the Monopoly game last week, and it's what we use to describe what our lives is like. You know how you start playing the game, and then everybody is giving a certain amount of money? It is something equivalent to what Jesus speaks of in the Bible, where he talks about giving each person a certain amount of talent to use, and that when the master comes back, he's going to ask you of how you put those talents or money to use while he was away. And that's the kind of thing with the Monopoly game. Everybody's giving a certain amount of money. And you start playing the game, and my kids will tell you, I get consumed into that game, and I play like it's real. And the play money, I collect all of their monies, and I do all of that, and I become very rich when the game is going on. I buy all these hotels and these houses, and you know I'm rich on the game, and they're so upset, offended with me. But I give them a buck or two, you know, as we play the game to help them out. And every once in a while, they get the opportunity to stop at one of my hotels, you know what I'm saying? And I will not charge them any money. So we play the game. But then when the game ends, all of that money goes back in the box and the game is over. And you leave just feeling good about the fact that you played the game. And so we looked at it last week and we talked about how the importance of us not investing our lives in this life, but to rather invest it into eternity, is what God wants us to do. Now, into this reading is a subject regarding worry. Worry is the outcome of one who trusts in his own abilities to overcome life's challenges. All right, in other words, you are having problems in your life and it's causing you to worry. You're worrying because you're trying to take that problem and put it on your own head and deal with the situation without any help, especially when it's overwhelming and it gets to the point where it seems like it's out of control. That's when we begin to worry about it because it is getting out of control. So for some of us, if there was a trophy for worrying, we wouldn't just make the team. We'd be the captain of the team because we worry. For some of us, it's so bad that we even worry about worrying. That's how bad it gets for some people. God is dealing with this subject because worry is counterproductive to faith. And faith is one of the armor that people wear in this life. When you talk about the armor of God, you got the shield of faith. And that's one of the emphasis that the young kids talked about during the course of last week, during VBS. Okay, so it is counterproductive to faith. You cannot operate in faith as you are operating in worry. It cannot happen at the same time. It cannot happen simultaneously. So this is why God tells us not to worry, because worry causes a lot of health issues for us. It causes a lot of problems for us in this life. And it has psychological effect on our bodies. It has some internal health effect with us. It causes people to suffer from stress, and stress will cause you to suffer from high blood pressure, and high blood pressure will destroy the internal organs in your body. And God, knowing all of this, is telling us to avoid having ourselves go through this process of worrying. So why is he asking to do that? Here are three reasons. Because worry, number one, is from the devil. It's not from God. God says trust. That's what he's asking us to do, to trust him. As we're walking through this pilgrim journey, he's asking you, trust me along the way. I know you may not understand some things that I would do or say, but just trust me as you're going along the pathway, and I'm going to lead you. And so he wants us to trust, but the evil one is saying, no, worry. Don't trust God. Worry about your situation. Do not trust God. Worry is used by the devil to distract us from trusting God. You have to understand this. When we worry about a situation, we are saying, God, I don't think you can handle this. This one goes bigger than you. This is bigger than you. You just leave me to worry about this. And we lie on the bed and worry ourselves. I would not even say to sleep, but to a sleepless night. It's what we do when we lie there thinking about a situation that we cannot do nothing about. Okay? So we worry ourselves away. And sometimes we forget that, you know, you go through this situation right now, and you walk out of this situation and you get into another mess. And you walk out of this mess, you get in another one. But we don't learn that those things come and go. So when one comes, we take it and treat it as though nothing has ever happened before. And we sit there and stare at it and worry about it and worry ourselves to death. So God is saying that worry is from the devil. It is not from him. The second thing is, it steals away our peace and our joy. Okay? Worry steals our peace and joy. God desires is that we live in not just peace, but listen, to a peace, in a peace that passes all understanding. You know what that means? When God talks about you living in a peace that passes all understanding, it's not telling you that you will not go through storms in life. It's not telling you that you will not have problems in life. But when those problems show up, God is going to be with you. He's going to give you a peace that will cause your neighbor to look at you and wonder what is going on. Because they expect you to be responding in a way that this storm is taking you. But you are not responding in that way. You are so calm. And they get confused by that. But there is a joy that is bigger on the inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You understand that? So you have the greater one living inside of you. And sometimes this problem that's staring you in the face, standing in front of you, will look bigger than the greater one in you, because you're not seeing the greater one, you're seeing the problem. But God is reminding us this morning that we must not allow worry to steal away our joy, the joy that comes from him that passes all understanding, that will cause you to even be able to praise God in the middle of a storm. That will cause you to even still be able to pray when the storm is on. That joy and peace that will cause you to still serve God in the midst of the storm. Some people come up with these excuses. Oh, you know, I was not in church today because I was really going through some things. Where do you take those things? Take it to God in prayer, the Bible says. He is the one who is able to keep you from falling. You cannot sit home and contemplate on that problem and change the trajectory of that problem by being home. You come to God. He is the one who is able to keep you from falling. So we don't stay home. We come to him. We keep our joy and praise on in the midst of the storm. I could give you a lot of examples of people in the Bible who kept their praise on in the midst of their storms and how God showed up in the middle of that storm. You have to understand that's what he wants. He wants to take the glory in your situation. So let us not allow these storms to cause us to get distracted and steal away our praise and joy. The third thing it does, it distracts us from seeking God's kingdom. That's what worry does. It distracts us from seeking God's kingdom when we are preoccupied with worry and the cares of this life. We miss out on the joy and purpose of pursuing God's kingdom. We cannot do that because we are worried about being prosperous in this world, maximizing our potential in this world, and becoming all that we can be. And sometimes it will steal away our attention and cause us to walk away from God. It distracts us. Those are the three things. So this is why we choose for a theme this morning. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. It's a song that is written like that, you know. An old song, the landlord says your rent is late and you have to leave the gate. But don't worry. Be happy. It says, don't allow that problem to overcloud you, but take control of it. God is saying, no to worry, because it's like carrying a backpack full of bricks. When nobody asked you to carry it, you took a backpack and fill it up with bricks and put it on your back. And you're walking up and down the streets carrying this stuff like somebody told you to carry. Nobody told you to carry. And that's what worrying feels like, that we took a ton of bricks and put it on our backs. So that's why a man once said, I have had many problems in life, most of which never actually happened. Many problems in life, most of which never actually happened. Do you remember times when you lie down in bed, was worrying about problems that came in your life and could not sleep about it? And you woke up the next morning, could not eat. You were worrying about that situation. And when the reality came to pass, this thing really did not happen. It turned out to be totally different from what you have been thinking about. And you put your prayers on and you started moving on. And then another situation showed up. And you put on the same attitude, sitting there not eating, not sleeping, crying about it. And it turned out not to be the way you had planned it or thought it was going to happen. And so God is saying, He is in control. He is in charge. Let me give you these 3 points, and I'm going to shut up and sit down. Okay? Here's the first one. Don't worry. God controls your life. Don't worry, because God controls your life. Look in Luke 12, 22 and 23. It says, and then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than what? Clothes. Look at that. Notice that Jesus starts off with the basic necessities of life. That's what he's talking about, food and clothes. Everybody seeks to meet these basic necessities in life. Every single person, the guy standing on the street corner panhandling, his job, his most important job, is to find clothes to wear and food to eat. If he doesn't get anything for that day, at least some food to eat. So he stands over there and trying to beg to see how we could help him as we stop by the light. And so this is exactly what it is for everybody. And Jesus zeroes it down to the most basic needs of life and is telling you that he even cares, as basic as it is, he cares about those necessities. And if God cares about the basic needs of you and I, definitely he cares about the bigger ones. That's exactly what the text is trying to tell you. You may be asking the question, but how come God says if a man doesn't work, he won't eat? At the same time, he says don't worry about what you will eat or wear. But he says that, you see, when you look at the text from that context, God is not telling us to sit home and not work. That's not what he is saying. He is rather condemning worry and saying that worry is wrong. It's different. Worry is a mental anxiety, okay, about provision. You sit and you're worrying about provision. It is not the same as taking wise actions, you know, towards becoming successful in life. The two different things. People worry. Somebody may have a job, and you have a job and you're working, but yet you're worrying about getting fired. How can you live your life like that? Okay, you already have a job. Instead of looking around you and thank the Lord for the things that he's blessed you with, instead of doing that, you're looking at what might happen. What if I lose this job? What's going to happen? And then you get terrified over the fact that you might not be able to pay your bills or do this or do that or do the other. Okay? But God is saying, no, do not worry about these things. Provision comes from him. It is different when we use a mental anxiety to try to figure out how life is going to work. That's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to be thankful for the blessings he's placed around us. I'm telling you, if you try, even in the midst of a storm, if you try to look around you to see the goodness of God, you will not worry too much or concentrate too much on the bad thing that is happening to you at that moment. It's because there are so many good things that God has done that we do not take account of. We are looking at the bad thing because we want that bad thing to leave our lives. But listen, God has blessed you so much. And that's what the Bible tells you. Count your blessings and name them one by one. Because in counting your blessings and naming it one by one is going to take your eyes off of that one thing that is standing before you that's causing you not to see the many things that God is doing in your life. Come on, give God a hand of praise for being good this morning. He's a good God. And so God is also reminding us that if he's able to give us life, he also is able to sustain it. He gave you life. Every person in this, we didn't just randomly show up on earth, you know. One day, boom, you were just here. And you start looking around asking the question, who owns this place? Well, who runs this place? How am I going to get through? That's the kind of mindset we carry when we look at, the way we process life. We make it look like we came here and we're trying to figure it out that God did not create us. But God is telling you this morning that he is able to provide for you. If he was able to create you, he's also able to sustain you. Your life is going to be sustained. Stop worrying about it. The illustration he gives is the birds don't own pantries and credit cards. They're flying up in the air. They don't own those things, but yet God cares for them. And so he's saying to us, worrying about provision is like doubting that God cares. And that's what God does. You know one thing God doesn't like? He doesn't like a person that lives in unbelief or disbelief. God doesn't like that. He loves people who live in belief. And that's what scripture says in John 3:16. What? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever what? I don't want to preach with me this morning. Whosoever what? Believe. I want you to shout it out like you mean it with confidence. Whosoever, there you go, believe in me, in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is all about believing in God. That's what it is about. And God hates people who doubt him. And when we doubt God, we stop operating in faith. During the week, Pastor Brian had the little kids tie his face with a cloth and they tied his eyes. And he allowed them to carry him. And he's telling them, he said, this is what faith is like. I love your illustration with the kids. This is what faith is like. He said, trusting God, even though you don't see where you're going. He said, sir, you take me to where you think I need to go. And the kids were so excited to carry this big man around. They carry him all around the church. Where am I now? We're in pastor's office. Okay, get out. Take me somewhere else. He's trusting them to take him to wherever they had to take him. That's how God wants us to do. We don't have to investigate. We don't have to try to figure out this thing. God already has it under control. All he wants us to do is to follow him, to trust him in the process. So we talk about how do not worry. God controls your life. The next thing is do not worry. God covers your limitations. Let's look at that. Look in Luke chapter 12 verses 24 through 28. He says, consider the ravens. That's what Will was talking about this morning, the ravens. They do not sow nor reap. And he says they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor nor spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? First, Jesus tells us that worrying doesn't fix anything. It doesn't fix anything. The only thing it does is it magnifies what we cannot control. That's what it does. It makes it bigger than it actually is. You cannot fix it. It gives you a bigger picture of the thing you are worrying about. That's all worry does. Think about it. If you think about it, that's all it does. It gives you this bigger picture that causes you to feel even more scared than you already were. As you sit and contemplate on it, Jesus tells us also that we can't add hours to our lives or solve problems by worrying about the what ifs of life. So you cannot add life to you. You know what you're doing instead? You are subtracting life from you and not adding to your life. And he wants us to add to our lives and not subtract from it. So when we sit and worry about situations, that's what we are doing. The evil one is stealing away life from you by sitting there and worrying about the problems that life throws your way. So Jesus uses the analogy of flowers. They don't work. They don't have their own supplies. They don't. God does not abandon his creation. That's the idea. God does not abandon his creation. Meaning if you were created by God, you cannot be abandoned. You just cannot be abandoned. You may feel abandoned, but you can never be abandoned if you were created by God. And much more, being saved by God and being in Christ, you are anchored in the Lord. And that even makes it better for those of us who are born again believers, believing in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, who have been accepted by God, brought into this family. Listen, you cannot be abandoned. Do not allow worry to make you feel that way. God has you, and he has your back. He has you under his wings. So focus on your limits and start focusing on the limitless care of God. Stop focusing on your limits, I meant to say, and start focusing on the limitless care of your God. Every time your problem stands in front of you, what this means is, instead of staring at it and defining it, you define the God who is behind it. That's what David did when he faced Goliath in the Bible. He saw Goliath standing there, taunting everybody, and the army of God were hiding in different places, and David came on that scene, and he did not trust in the sling that he had in his hands and the three stones. That was not what he trusted in. He trusted in God, who is bigger than any problem, any situation, any circumstance. He trusted in God, and God saw him through. And we need to learn to do the same thing as people of God. If God cares about the wild flowers, he cares much more about you. So we talk about how we do not worry. God cares about your life, how we should not worry because God covers our limitations. Lastly, do not worry. God commands your future. God commands your future. Look at this reading in Luke 12, 29 through 33. Reads, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid of the flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Here Jesus is asking us to shift our focus from the uncertain future to the unchanging Father. Okay, shift your focus from the uncertain future. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know how this might turn out. He's saying shift your focus from that place and shift it from that place of uncertainty and bring it to the place of to the reality of an unchanging God who is in your life and is able to do much more than you can ever think or imagine. That's where he wants us to shift our focus. Check out the phrase, your Father knows that you need them. Check out that phrase. It means that God already knows about your needs. You are not catching him by surprise. He already knows about your needs. You know, when we go to pray, God already knows your needs. Let me make you understand this. He knows it. And the Bible says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God says, I knew you. Do you know what that means? It doesn't mean that God only knows you by name or he knows you by structure. But it means that he knows even your yesterday, your today, and your tomorrow. God knows the events that will take place in your life before they occur. That's why he is known as the Alpha and the beginning and the end and everything in between. God knows it all. So when you come to God in prayer, you're not coming to inform him. You understand me? You are not coming to entice God into answering your prayer. Do you know why you pray? There's one reason why we pray. We pray to invite God in our circumstance. Always remember that. We pray so that God will be invited. He's not going to forcefully come into our lives to do anything with us, but he allows us to pray and invite him into that situation. All right? He knows our needs. He provides our needs. With the needs part of life, God provides it. You don't need to ask him for it. What are those needs? Life, oxygen. God provides strength in the body to move around. Reasons. These are things that God provides for us every day that we don't need to ask for. Okay? But then when it comes for those things that are happening, the events that are taking place in our life, this is the place where we need to invite God to come in. And that's why prayer becomes essential. For every person, for every church, prayer becomes an essential part of that, because that's how we call God. And he says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with them." He's waiting for that invitation. He's waiting for us to call him into our circumstances so that he can come and make the best of it. I'm not saying he's coming to make what you want of it, but he will make the best of it. When God gets done with your problem, you will be happy. And so let's learn to trust him in the face of these situations that we face in life. God wants us to become as little children. Okay? That's what faith is, to be like little children. Little children rarely stress about where dinner will come from or where food's going to come from. They just trust their parents. And you all were kids before, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, you just trusted your parents that they're going to provide. And you needed something, you cried, but you threw tantrums about it because you just knew that your parents would provide. I remember when I was a little kid, 8 years, 9 years, so my dad would leave the house for weeks. He's gone. And there would be no food at home. And I can never remember getting up one morning thinking about where food would come from. I go to my mom when I was hungry, and I tell her, "Mama, I'm hungry." And it was her job to make sure I found food to eat. She found food for me to eat. And my job was to, take instructions from her and follow her instructions. So sometimes she would write a little note and give it to me and tell me, "Take it down to Mr. S and X." And I go down the street, run down there and take the note. And then I come with some money. And so my job was to follow her instructions. And the same thing with God and us. Our job is to follow God's instructions when we are having problems and not try to at us in our own hands and try to solve it the way we think we should and walk away from what God's word says we should do. If God says do not steal and you're going through a problem and you're working in the grocery store where you are handling the money and you are able to take a few bucks out of the cashier thing or whatever to go and buy food to eat, and you decide to do that and you say, "God, I need you to understand here now, because you see it's tough at home. I will need a few bucks, so you need to understand why I'm doing this." God is not going to understand that, because God has said to you, "Thou shalt not steal." And now you will trust God and leave that money and wait until he provides. And then if I'm going to die waiting on you, God, I'm going to die. But I'm going to trust you and wait until you show up. And that's the kind of mindset God wants us to carry as we go along this pilgrim journey. When these problems show up, we don't try to respond to it based on the way we think it ought to be, but we listen to God, and what God says is what we do. Now, replace anxiety with priority is another thing he addressed in this text. Let me say it one more time. Replace anxiety with priority. Okay? He says what? Seek God's kingdom first. That's priority. That's leaving anxiety and dealing with the situation and using priority as what you're going to do. That follow God first. And every time, it reminds me of the story of the widow of Zarephath. The widow had only small flour left and a little bit of oil just for that one day. She was going to make a meal for she and her son to eat and die, according to the scripture. And then Elijah the prophet shows up on the scene, and he tells her, she explains the whole thing. "This is our situation. Hey, brother, the food is just in the money, man. Eat and die." And the prophet said, "Well, before you prepare a meal for you and your son to eat and die, you prepare me a meal first." And in obedience, she took some of that flour and oil and prepared a meal for the prophet. And the moment she did that, the Bible says that woman did not lock oil and flour in that house. She was provided with enough throughout that farming because of obedience. And that's what God expects from her. If you trust God enough and you're going through a circumstance now, you ask God first, what must I do? And when God speaks, you obey. And God is going to come through for you in ways that you would never think of or imagine. But let God's will be done. When we make God first, he prioritizes our need. That's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? And all other things. It's talking about the things in this life will be added to you. You know, I have tons of stories that I could share with you here right now. But if I did that, you wouldn't go home. And I got a lot of stories to tell you about how God took me through situations and provided for me because I trusted God all the way through. And I did not allow anything to stand between my worship, my fellowship, my service to God and myself. That's priority one in my life. Everything else is secondary. And that's how I have served God all the way through and through up to this point. God wants us to trust him, to have faith in him that he's able to take us through once we continue to trust him. The Lord is simply telling us that worry is a thief. It'll steal from you. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your peace away from you if you allow it. And he's telling you, walk away from it so that you'll keep a good health, not only in the spirit, but in your physical body as well. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God would never bring you this far and leave you. He would never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.